We got it going now. They don't need to know the other stuff. But thank you all for being here. I noticed seven was perfection, seven singers here. And I got to admit, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs did pop into my mind too. But I'll go with seven being perfection. But no, really, thank you guys for doing that. It was a blessing, and thank you for doing that, and Chris for kind of heading that up. So that was great, and I appreciate your time and your talents. So thank you. So joy, it's a time of joy this Christmas season. Looked it up, and you think of joy, and you think of happiness, and sometimes it's a little hard to differentiate the two, but hopefully we can today a little bit. Look it up on the dictionary, and I'm not sure I like any of the answers on the way it describes joy. It says the expression or exhibition of such emotion, and a state of happiness, which is close, I think, a source or cause of delight. I can go with that. There is a source of joy, a cause of joy. The emotion evoked by well-being or success or good fortune. See, I would call that happy. I wouldn't call that joy. The prospect of possessing what one desires. Depends on what you're looking to desire, what you're looking to have, whether that's happiness or joy. Happy. What makes us happy? Well, presents under the tree make us happy. Santa Claus coming makes us happy. Good food makes me happy. So I'm sure it makes you happy. So it makes the kids happy. So Santa made them happy to go to the store and get a toy. Now, we had to juggle, because the two other ones, one got a little more. It was his birthday. Can I have this? No. How about this? No. How about this? Well, yes. Well, then it was yes for a little while until they tried to trade up. No, not that one. How about this one? Yes, you can have that one. Well, can I keep that one? No. Yeah, you got to pick and choose here. So the happiness kind of ebbed and flowed depending on where we were. So, but happiness is just one of those things that comes and goes. It is an emotion. It's a feeling. It comes and goes. I remember Mom, she probably doesn't even know how much I've been scarred my whole life, because I will never forget a Christmas many, many, many years ago. She said we were going to hide and wait up and see Santa come in. And we were going to be behind that couch and we were going to see Santa come in. So I was happy. I wanted to see Santa come in. I wanted to see what he did. I wanted to see him, Well, unfortunately, I fell asleep. So I didn't see Santa. But the next morning, she told me how she had. She went ahead and hid behind that couch, said, "I saw Santa." Well, then I wasn't happy again. How come you didn't get me up? How come you didn't get me behind that couch? I wanted to see Santa, so... And of course, presents later on alleviated that unhappiness, and I was happy again. So it comes and goes, but I don't think Mom even realized how scarred I've been for 60 years because she did that to me. So, but joy versus happy. Happy is temporary. Joy lasts a long time. Joy can last forever. Happy is generally made by external circumstances in our life. Joy is more internal, and sometimes by choice. We choose to have a joy inside, and obviously the indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes a big difference in that joy. But happy is an emotion. Joy is more of a state of being. It's an attitude that we have. It's an attitude that we keep. And then we got to look at what or who brings us joy. Where does that joy come from? What is that joy source? And we are going to read the Christmas story. We only do it once a year, so we're going to read it today. We're going to read Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. But I am going to read it in the King James Version, this section. So your Bible will read a little different if you got one in the pew. We're going to read the King James Version because everybody knows the Charlie Brown Version. So I wonder if Charles Schulz realized how many kids, how many people he was going to reach by putting that in that cartoon. And of course, back then they would show it on TV. You didn't have to worry about it. But just think of all the people. What was that, 1965, something like that? So it's been about 60 years ago. And think of the people that saw that, that might be their only chance to hear it. But they saw it in Snoopy and Charlie Brown with Linus in a blanket. So we're going to read the King James Version this morning. It's Luke 2, 1 through 21. Put yourself in their place, you know, when you read this. Mary and Joseph and all the things that were going on, the shepherds. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So we know we've heard that a lot of times. Like you say, you've heard it for 60 years on Charlie Brown. But we know Mary had baby Jesus, born in a manger because there was no room in the inn, lying in a manger, which is in an animal cave, in a feeding trough. That's how Jesus came. That's how our Savior came. You know, angels came to announce his birth, and who did they go to? They went to shepherds. Talked about this downstairs a little bit. They, you know, a Savior born in a lowly place went to lowly people to share the news. You know, shepherds were the low of the lowest, as we've talked about. You know, they couldn't speak or you couldn't take their testimony in a court of law. Nobody believed them. They were thought of dirty liars and things. They were dirty loner people who lived with the animals out in the wilderness. You know, it wasn't a vocation you wanted your son to pick up if he grew up and got a vocation. Although we know through David and through Jesus that shepherds were much more than that, much, much more. We see they're out there of a night, been a long time, and they're quiet, maybe silent night. Was broken up by an angel of the Lord with the Lord's glory showing around him. Now, can you imagine an angel showing up and the glory of God shining around that angel and what their reaction might be? You know, they were told to fear not. Fear not. Again, in the Bible, fear not. Fear not to go out and to do something for God. Fear not to jump out there. You can't just sit at home. You can't just be a pew potato, as they say. You got to be out. You got to be active. You fear not to do things, to be active. Faith is active. It's not silent. It's not sitting. They were told to fear not. And later on, we see a host of angels praising God, saying glory to God and peace, goodwill towards men. Again, can you imagine what they were feeling and thinking? You know, I don't know how many a host of angels is, but I think it's a lot. You know, and they're seeing things they've never seen before. Things they never imagined before. You know, again, downstairs talked about angels, but there's angel, you know, a heavenly host is a lot of things. There's angels, there's cherubim, there's seraphim, and they look a little different than things we've ever seen in our life. So a lot of things, the heavenly host is a bunch, and they're singing and they're praising God. And can you imagine it? If you were there, how you would feel. And I want to concentrate on verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall come to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So again, fear not. This is a good thing. You know, this is a good thing. You know, good tidings. What's good tidings? Well, it's an announcement. It's good news. It's the good news we're supposed to share. It's the good news turned into the gospel that we're supposed to share. It says, with great joy. One of the words back then, great, was megas. Megas, mega joy. Undescribable joy, indescribable joy. And it's for everyone. It's not just for a select few. It's not for kings. It's not for rich people. It's not for good people. It's for those who don't think they have any chance. That wouldn't consider themselves not good enough, not liked enough, not loved enough. Kind of like shepherds. He went to them first. Maybe that's why he went to them. So it's for every person, everyone. They listened, and they believed, and they understood, and more so they obeyed. And they went and saw the baby Jesus, and then they told everyone they could. You know, when we meet Jesus in life, we're supposed to be the same. When we come to meet Jesus, we see him. We're supposed to tell everyone we can. You know, he meets us as an undeserving people and changes our lives so we can help others change by telling them of who he is. And we can have the joy that the shepherds had by having a relationship with Jesus, with Christ. Say, where does joy come from? 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 and 9. It's one reason. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Salvation. What a great joy that is. You know, an eternity in heaven with the goodness that God offers versus an eternity in hell with to be tormented. To be without God. The absence of God. You know, this baby's going to take all the punishment you and I ever deserved on himself for us because he loves us. And we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. There was no way. He's the only option we have. Now, if that doesn't bring you mega joy, I'm not sure what will. He came for you. He came for you. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Also Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. Joy. The Holy Spirit, knowing God, knowing who he is, having that relationship with Jesus, having the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, once you have a relationship with Jesus, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we know it's as a deposit, as a guarantee of a future that's promised to you. That should bring you joy. You get a comforter. You get a guide. You know, the Holy Spirit in our life fills us with the joy as He's the intimate relationship person of the Trinity that lives inside us. He's the one that joins us, God in us. He provides the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's a lot of things, but joy is one of those. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Joy is a fruit of this Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us joy. James 1, verses 2 and 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Count it all joy. You've heard that before. Count it all joy. Even trials, even when things don't go as we want. Because that's a sign God has you in training. You're being trained for something. You know, He's working us and He's building our character. Not in us, but to be like His. He's training us to be like Him. He's strengthening us. He's maturing us so that we lack nothing. We're being perfected. Are we going to be perfect? No. But being perfected is being matured. Being matured in Christ. So count it all joy. You know, we can overcome trials through Christ. And we got the card from Seth. And I think of Seth a lot. Overcoming trials. Overcoming difficulties. He's been in and out of the Mayo Clinic for years and years. And the things he's gone through. But if you saw him here, he doesn't complain. He doesn't say, why me? He looks to help others. And talks of God. His favorite verse is, through him I can do all things. Sets an example. Remember when he said, you know, the one thing he said that, talking about stuff he can't eat because he's on a feeding tube as well. He eats at night mostly because of the feeding tube and things. And he's talking about one holiday season, and I haven't seen it for years, but you know, they used to make that Jell-O that had like carrots and stuff in it. What was it? It was Jell-O salad? Is that what it was called? I haven't seen that for years, but he said he saw that once, and he said, you know, they offered it to him, and I praised God I was on a feeding tube that day. And not have to eat that Jell-O salad. So talk about looking at the good in all things. So Seth is an example. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Again, we can have Christ's joy in us so that our joy can be complete. But our joy comes from Jesus' love for us. You know, we show Jesus' love back by returning, in return to keep his commands. That's how we show we love him back. We do what he's asked us to do in thankfulness and praising for what he's done for us. You know, and the command is to love others as Jesus loves us. It's not a request, not a suggestion, it's a command. Love others as Jesus loved us. And complete joy comes through those combined relationships, a relationship with Jesus loving us and we in turn loving those around us. That's what makes the joy complete. Joy comes about as we enter into relationships. It's not about things that we can or can't have. It's all about relationships. It's about Jesus and people we can share love and have in our life. I have an invitation in just a minute. I want to finish with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." How about that joy? So the joy set before him. Jesus endured the cross and everything that went with it. That doesn't sound like joy to us, does it? But he had joy because he knew the future. He knew what was ahead. He knew why. He looked for the joy of joining the Father, being beside him on the throne. He looked for the joy of, through the Holy Spirit, of having a relationship with you and I. If you know Jesus, you know the future too. Do you have the joy set before you? Is your mind on other things? No, he wasn't so worried about the now because he knew what was to come. Do you fully understand what this baby being born meant and what he's done for you? It's God came down to get you to a place you couldn't go. You know, one Sunday as they drove home from church, a little girl tuned to her mother and said, "You know, Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning that I just don't understand." The mother said, "Oh, what is that?" And the little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the whole world in his hand. Is that true?" And the mother replied, "Yes, that's true, honey. But Mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too?" Again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. And with a puzzled look on her face, the little girl then asked, "Well, says if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" Do you have great joy? Is it showing through? Is Jesus showing through? I hope in this season you remember Christ. Remember that baby. Remember what he came to do. And I pray the joy of that is showing through, showing to others. Let's pray.